It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The Richardson School District has suspended two high school students after they posted racially charged messages on social media. As KERA's Stella Chavez reports, parents brought the issue to the district's attention.
J.J. Pierce and Richardson High Schools have an intense rivalry on the football field. Days before their big game, images popped up on social media, and school district officials say they were offensive. In one image, a white man holds a whip, about to strike a black man. The Pierce High School banner is on the face of the white man. A banner with the letters RHS for Richardson High School covers the face of the black man. Another image shows the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln. A man pointing a gun has the Pierce banner over his face. Lincoln's face is covered with the Richardson High banner. Chris Moore is a spokesman for the Richardson School District. He says the images were disturbing and appalling.
Rivalry week here is something that's typically intended to be a fun, engaging time where kids can kind of talk to the other students they grew up with and engage in some of this activity that's associated with most rivalries. That said, what took place with these images, there's no excuse.
Moore says the Pierce principal learned about the social media posts after getting an email from a concerned parent. The email contained screenshots of the images. Moore says two students say they're responsible for the posts. Both have been suspended. A hearing with the two students and their parents will be held.
Ultimately, there are no criminal charges that will be pursued by law enforcement. There was nothing that indicated a crime had taken place. However, within the purview of the district, the punishment can range anywhere from an on-campus suspension up to an alternative education center placement off of campus.
The students could spend up to 45 days in the alternative school. Their parents have the right to appeal. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Now to think and mental illness. Zach McDermott was working as a public defender in New York City when he started to have delusions that his life was one big audition for a reality TV show with him as the breakout star. McDermott was experiencing a manic episode, a symptom of his bipolar disorder, which landed him in multiple hospitals, including one for violent and sexual offenders. Today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about learning to manage his symptoms.
I felt like I had just the secrets of the universe just coursing through my vein. Like I felt like I was on a higher plane of existence than anyone else. And that felt good. And that felt like I was unharvesting all this untapped potential. But then, yeah, I'd be crying and I couldn't sleep. And something was going on with me, but I didn't know what it was. And I was too sick to fully appreciate, like, these are problems. These are warning signs. That's something that's really got to change. Like we need to know what these warning signs are. It's just silly that we don't know the symptoms of bipolar disorder or schizophrenia the same way we do those of a common cold. You know, if you're 26 and your son or daughter starts writing on the walls and having trouble sleeping and just not acting like themselves, it should just be obvious that, oh, these are the symptoms of bipolar disorder. We all know these symptoms, but we don't. And you have to like have this emergency take place before you even approach the problem and start treating it.
Zach McDermott is the author of Gorilla and the Bird, a memoir of madness and a mother's love. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. We're living in a new golden age of animation. More than 100 animated movies are released each year, and that doesn't even include video games or TV cartoons. On Thursday, Art and Seek will present a State of the Arts panel at the Dallas Museum of Art on animation, both as an art and an industry in North Texas. And Bothball sat down with Jerome Weeks, who's hosting the panel, to talk about the future of animation.
Jerome, Toy Story came out 22 years ago. That was the first computer animated film. But nowadays, we see computer generated imagery on everything in live action Hollywood movies and, of course, video games. Has this affected animation?
It's called convergence, and it's becoming a fact of life in the industry. The CGI software that lets you draw a swimming fish in Finding Dory, or create that flying car in the new Blade Runner movie, or any fight scene in a video game, basically it's all the same. So creating regular movies, animated movies, video games, they're all becoming alike. That means animation companies can work in all those different media to bring in revenue if they have the CGI toolkit.
Oh, you said they're all becoming alike. Do you mean that films and games and TV shows are all going to start looking alike?
Yes and no. I mean, mediocre animation has always had a sameness to it, whether it's hand-painted or computer-generated. All those TV cartoons that boomers grew up on, you know, Yogi Bear and Scooby-Doo, they all looked alike because they all looked cheap. It's not the animation technology that's so important in this case. It's how it's used. Here's Brandon Oldenburg, who will be on the panel at the DMA. He started in North Texas with ReelFX. Then he helped start Moonbot Studios in Louisiana and won the Oscar for Best Animated Short. Now Oldenburg's back here with his own company called Flight School.
What we love to do is tell stories, and the stories live beyond just one medium. They all are to be experienced, whether a TV show or a graphic novel or a video game or a theatrical experience or VR. So we like to think of ourselves as storytellers experimenting with new technologies to deliver those stories.
Brandon mentioned VR, virtual reality. That is the next big thing.
VR is supposedly the big future for films, video games, even our online experience. It's part of that digital animation convergence I mentioned. In fact, Brandon's studio, Flight School, just released its first virtual reality product called Manifest 99. It's part spooky animated video, part video game. But VR still has some serious hurdles to overcome.
Is that just because people aren't used to it, or are companies not finding the right kind of animation that people want to see?
Well, you're right in that there are both technical and artistic problems. So far, with VR, you have to wear a headset. And wearing this thing on your face, like a gas mask, that gets old. But the real hurdle is, how do animators keep a viewer moving through virtual reality? You find yourself inside this entire virtual world. What's to keep you from just staring at the sofa the whole time? Where can I buy those cushions?
Yeah, to have a story, things have to happen. And they have to happen in an order that viewers can really follow along.
Right. Wearing a VR headset, I think everyone's first impulse, like mine, was just to wander around exploring. You know, what's that thing over there? But after a while, you start to ask, okay, now what? Remember, when movie making started, directors didn't know where to point the camera or when to cut to a new scene. They had to invent cinematic storytelling. The same thing with virtual reality. This is Brian Engram. He also started at ReelFX and now heads up his own North Texas studio called Brazen Animation.
It's an interesting time because there's certainly no rules with VR. There are limitations, but there are no rules. And so people are trying to apply the rules that they know from traditional filmmaking in order to make it work in VR. I tend to think that it's not linear unless you force it to be.
What he means is that the world of virtual reality lends itself to multiple storylines or to no storyline. You have to make it tell a story, give the viewer a reason to go in that one direction. Now, just how animators can do that?
Well, that's something that maybe your panelists will have an answer for on Thursday.
I hope so.
Thanks, Jerome.
It's a pleasure, Anne.
The State of the Arts panel, called Film Animation, Past, Present, and Future, is Thursday at the Dallas Museum of Art. Learn more at artandseek.org. In the forecast, more showers possible tonight, should clear up for sunny skies tomorrow with highs in the mid-80s. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.